Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Commodities take a breather after a volatile week, but what lies ahead? We'll talk about that and other issues today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Tom Rogers. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Our panelists today here in the studio with me are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Let's open up today's discussion with this question. A lot of analysts say there could be some high volatility immediately after the planning intentions report coming up on March 30th. We're at March 10th right now, a Saturday morning. How sold do you think producers ought to be in cash or in paper to protect against some of that volatility possibly coming up? Clayton?
Well, my advice so far is to be about 25% sold in cash with another 25% protected with some type of option strategy. And I would... at this point, still feel that's the case. I don't feel good about this market here in the short run. I think it's real vulnerable to some more weakness, but we'll see what it's like a couple days before that report, because that advice I just said is certainly subject to change.
Kurt Kimmel?
Well, for the generic side, is a massive recommendation. We're 30% sold in the cash and recommending up to 50% protected in put options, because these are very profitable levels, and we feel we got to do something to at least put a floor under us. But it depends from individual to individual, whether it's on-farm storage, off-farm storage, and the big one is if you have crop insurance or not. You know, if you have some revenue policies or whatever, you can get a lot more aggressive, and that's what those policies are made for.
And Wayne Nelson, what do you think a farmer should be looking for as far as being sold?
Well, I have to agree with Kurt here. It depends on your own situation and depends on your crop insurance level and a lot of things out there. We're officially 10% sold now. We look to be adding a lot of put coverage between now and the report. We hope for some, little run-up possibly in here, thinking that on the 15th when we see the spring weather outlook, and we're hoping that that'll pull us up a little bit to be able to put some puts on a little cheaper.
After the volatility of a couple of weeks ago with the Chinese stock market and obviously the commodity markets pretty wild and going down fairly substantially a couple of weeks ago, we had a little bit of leveling off. The corn for March had a high of over the week of 420 and a quarter a bushel, low of 402 and a half. The March contract settled down 2¾ cents from last week at 408 and a quarter. The December corn finished up one at 407 and three quarters. Guys, the president's director of the National Economic Council suggested that if there's a drought this summer, that U.S. Secretary Mike Johanns must act swiftly to protect U.S. corn interests, the ag secretary. And that's led to speculation of a corn embargo if adverse weather emerges. What do you think an embargo could do to futures and basis prices?
Well, obviously, it'd be pretty catastrophic, I'd think, and that's the kind of thing that you have to always keep in the back of your mind when you're up at multi-year highs like we are right now. I would think right now it would tend to keep a little bit of a lid on the price, because even though it's said with a bullish initiative, sort of, the fact is, I mean, they're saying that there is a plan to keep things under control, so... I don't know, it just adds a lot to the volatility. You know, if there's a drought, it's an awful big if. When normal weather is called normal for a reason, chances are there won't be a drought. But, boy, if there is, I mean, yeah, the volatility is going to go through the roof.
It also depends which commodity, too, when you look at the breakdown on how much is being exported and so forth. Like, beans, for example, a large percentage of our production is exported there. But I think the administration realizes they're wanting to keep a free market activity taking place here, And I think it'd have to be a very severe drought and projections of a very low crop for that to happen.
What's your take on it, Wayne?
Do you remember the last time we had an embargo? It wasn't good. History says it isn't good. We don't want to do one. It's got to be the last thing or last resort. That's what the price is for it, rations usage.
Any thoughts on that?
That's a good point. It's a good point. I agree. I mean, Wayne's underlying thought, I guess, is let's keep the government out of it if any more than they already are already in it. But if at all preventable, I don't think anybody wants that declared.
The supply and demand reports came out this week. Any impact that you see on this week's trade in corn, and where do we go from here?
Well, it's pretty much of a non-event. I mean, you got to get down to basic details on the world supply demand balance sheet, 1 million metric tons here, 500,000 metric tons there, to really have a conversational piece. I think the trade's more geared up towards next week's weather report in NOAA, then of course towards the end of the month, and they see what the acreage estimates are from the USDA.
Yeah, I think that Kurt said it there. We had to look at the world demand. I mean, as far as the carryout there, you know, we were down just a little bit in the corn. We were up just a little bit in the beans, not enough. I mean, our calls this morning were a little bit higher. That's why they came in. On Friday, they were a little bit higher. They came in, but they didn't finish that way. So, you know, just the opposite happened. The beans were down were up a little bit, closed a little higher. Corn, just the opposite. So that's how much reaction we had to that report. There wasn't much going on.
Any other factors that will affect corn this week and in weeks to come, you think?
Crude oil. I think that gold, the outside markets, we saw the economy meltdown of China. The outside markets, the idea that the ethanol market would be going down, the biofuel market would be going down, when it looked like crude was going to crash down and go below 58 and tail on down. As we saw it recover, and we've seen ethanol recover this week, we've seen the margins go from just about nothing to very good margins in the ethanol market. You know, we were worried that maybe some of these ethanol plants might slow down, the ones that are in progress being built or going to be built and on paper. And for a while, I think we were seeing a little bit of on-hold type activity with these. So, you know, to have and to use the kind of amount of corn that we're talking about for ethanol plants, they have to be in operation. They just don't happen if they aren't there.
One thing to remember, too, the corn market's sort of a mature bull market. There's very few people not long corn, and we got to remember, too, that when we start to liquidate like this as the openings grow in, the trade focuses attention to other commodities also.
Wayne?
Yeah, kind of like Wayne pointed out, that these outside markets, I think, lately have been a tremendous influence on the grain markets, emotionally for one thing, and then plus with the fund's huge involvement in the markets, there's definitely a margin factor there. If they're forced to liquidate in other markets, sometimes it can spill over and force them to change the positions in the grains that might not otherwise have been done. So in my own opinion, I think the oil market and the precious metals markets are both looking very vulnerable to a quick sell-off here. Stock market, I think, is in trouble. And add all those three outside factors together, they all point down to me, and I think could really exacerbate some profit taking here in the grain sector.
You know, one thing we ought to look at here, the funds were long, well over 370,000 contracts of corn. You know, we saw liquidation on Friday of less than 10,000 contracts, and we saw the market end up lower. What if they decide to really go for the door? You know, this could be a house of cards type market. Now, we're not saying it is. We're saying there is underlying demand. We're seeing people that are willing to buy at lower levels and look at things. But if these funds would run for the door, it's going to take an awful lot of commercial support to hold this market up.
Move on to the soybeans now that they did recover a little bit from the losses the previous week. The March contract had a high of 752 this week, the low 724.5, and contract finished the week at 746.5. It was up 7.5 cents from the previous week. The November contract, the new crop beans, 799.5, up 8.25 cents. Guys, if the rally, if the market's to rally from this point, will it be mainly led by futures or by cash, and why?
It'll probably be led by the futures market in anticipation of shortfall of new crop bean acres and ideas that we'll probably see some type of weather event down the road.
It's very easy to say that because, number one, look at your cash basis. It's wide, wide, wide. And when the cash basis is wide, it's a futures-led market, not a cash-led market, because the cash-led market, the basis is tight. We keep widening our fall basis. We keep seeming to be widening our nearby basis. Our South America continues to look very good. You know, we've got some problems in Argentina with a trucker strike, but it's just beginning to harvest, not much going on there. We are hearing that the Chinese are still very interested in accumulating beans. And we also know that the freight rates, the ocean freight rates, are staying very, very high. And that tells us that there is world demand for commodities because they're bidding up for those freight rates. So, you know, we still do have a fairly underlying market, but the basis levels are wide, so it's a futures-led market.
Yeah, and I think to answer your question, I'd agree with these guys. I think it would have to be led by the futures. I don't look for that to happen. But like Wayne said, I mean, basis out there is pretty sick right now. I don't see why it would recover unless it was because of dramatically lower futures prices. That would tend to firm it up eventually. But we've got a 595 million bushel carryover here. I mean, a huge number. There's a lot of cash beans out there. South America's ready to pull a record harvest out of the ground, and its harvest is picking up steam. Our exports are about to hit a brick wall. I just think more weakness is coming.
So should producers dump old crop beans at this point?
That would certainly be my advice. I wouldn't hold any beans, and I'd be hitting the new crop.
I'd just be a devil's advocate here, maybe disagree with that a little bit on the standpoint. Yeah, you probably need to sell some, but yet, too, if you're looking at investing in something, you usually buy something negative versus positive like corn. So I think there's a lot of investment money going to come into the bean market down the road. It's not going to help the cash a whole lot, but I think there's potential there to help the futures. Also, too, if we do lose 8 million acres and we do run into some weather problems next summer, this bean market's a powder keg ready to go, because I feel that they're going to jump out of the corn, they're going to jump out of the wheat, they're going to jump out of the stock market, they're going to jump out of the gold market and buy beans.
Wayne, you break the tie.
I break the tie. Well, you know, they both have very good points here, and I'm sort of on the fence as it is, but I'll tell you, Kurt is right. There seems to be a lot of the funds that seem to think beans are the next market to move. We have such big supplies from in South America. What our carryout is here, we're not hearing quite as many acres cut back in beans. We're hearing some of these corn acres are going to be coming out of wheat being tore up, come out of the cotton acres, come out of rice down the Mid-South, and like that. So we might not see near as many acres come out of beans for the increase in corn as what we were talking about. But there is also that very, very big idea that the funds, and we saw what they've done in the corn market, they can continue to do it here in the beans. I guess at $8 beans here, I'm more of a seller than a buyer because I'm more of a fundamentalist long term. But also, and I'm generally not one to say replace with calls, because I think a lot of times if you're happy with the price, you should just take it. But this is going to be one of the times that a bull call spread or something like that to keep your options open is probably worth spending the money on.
The wheat, the high this week, 470 and a half a bushel, as low as 455. It settled the week on the nearby contract at 465 and a half, up six from the previous week. And the July contract ended at 489 and a quarter, up 4 cents. How much longer do you feel that wheat can lead the corn wheat spread on the board?
Well, we saw a little bit of a reversal of spread. There'd been long corn, short wheat here, and the wheat sort of kept up ground here. It's probably going to depend on acreage here. We'll see how many corn acres we have, and then we'll probably see how much wheat's going to be actually torn up and put into wheat torn up and put into corn.
Any input there?
Yeah, wheat kind of just seems like an also-ran a little bit at this time of year, and especially with the fanfare in the corn market with the ethanol and all, so I would kind of expect wheat to especially in the next month or so, take its lead from the corn.
And Wayne, your take on the wheat?
Well, Kurt said it there. We're hearing about wheat going to be tore up for corn. We're talking about grazing cattle on it longer with the idea we're not going to keep it for wheat, so they're going to do it that way. There was even an article about guys trying to get out of their crop insurance. Hate to tell them, folks, they applied for that, and that's already taken care of, and you can't back out it halfway through a crop. But there is a lot of wheat. There's some cold weather coming in. Isn't going to really hurt the wheat. It's supposed to get down to the 20s, so what? But, you know, along the way, we will probably be tearing up some wheat fields that look just so-so come this spring. In northern Illinois, with some of our clients, they've tried to get talk to some of the producers and some of the agronomists up there to ask them whether they should tear theirs up or not. And they said it hasn't come out of dormancy yet. How can you decide yet? So a lot of decisions yet to be made as the weather warms up.
Quick look at the livestock markets. The Mercantile Exchange, the April live cattle contract at a high this week of 101.75, the low 96.95. The settlement price for the week on the April contract, 101.45, up 420 from last week. March feeders had a ended the week at 105.15, up $1.25 from last week. The lean hog contract, the high for the April contract, 68.67.5, the low 64.75. They finished the week at 67.95. That was up $1.60 from last week. And the March pork belly contract ended at 107.30, up 3.32.5 from the previous week. And the March oat contract ended the week at 245.25, up 2.25 from last week.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Temperatures over the last week were about 7 degrees below normal across the state. This February was the ninth coldest on record since 1895, with temperatures 9 degrees below normal. It was very quiet this week for precipitation, with an average of only 0.2 inches falling across the state. But that's okay, because this winter we had 9 inches statewide compared to a normal of 6.5 inches. The National Weather Service forecast calls for warmer temperatures over the weekend and into next week. Lows will be in the 30s in northern Illinois and 40s in the central and southern Illinois, while highs will range in the 40s and 50s in northern Illinois and in the upper 50s to the low 70s in central and southern Illinois. The latest forecast says that a La Nina event is likely to occur in the next 2 to 3 months, raising concerns of drought. We will watch carefully as this event unfolds. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
You're listening to Commodity Week. I'm Tom Rogers. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson. And our guest today is Senior Market Advisor Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Jackie writes articles for the successful farming and Stuart Peterson websites, as well as the Outlook page in Top Producer magazine. Thanks for joining us today, Jackie.
Thank you.
Let's go straight to the panelists this week. I'm the rookie here in the studio, so let's let the professionals go with some questions, and let's start with Clayton.
Yeah, Jackie, I wonder, do you think we can see some volatility in this corn market before the March 30th number, or are we going to be a standoffish affair here for 3 whole weeks?
No, I don't think that we're going to be standoffish. In fact, I think one of you said before that the weather report coming out on the 15th is what I think is going to take it. If you notice, the funds, you know, certainly have been very active over in the livestock markets. And I think all they're doing is sitting back and waiting for an opportunity to come back in here and see if the market's going to give them another chance to buy at perhaps a little bit reduced price.
What's your assessment of the Friday morning's USDA report? Did you see anything that sort of jumped out at you?
Oh, it was a yawner. It's what it was. I didn't see anything that looked exciting. I think probably the most prominent thing was the change in the Brazilian bean number, you know, picking it up by 500 million or by a 500,000 metric tons, you know, and I didn't think that that was anything that was just terrible. So, no, I didn't think it was interesting at all.
Well, Jackie, you know, some of us are thinking we can get a rally. Some are thinking we're going to get a sell-off here before this report. Which camp are you in?
I'm in the rally camp. And the reason I'm in the rally camp there's a couple of different reasons I'm in the rally camp. Number one, you know, it's very difficult for the market to consolidate for a long period of time. Granted, we could break out to the downside, but there's still a lot of unknowns in this market. When you look at commitment of traders, the new one that came out today showed the index trading funds again adding to their positions. I mean, they added 3,000 positions last week. They added 1,500 positions this week. The commercial funds, and you know, that's something that I think is confusing to people when we keep talking about the funds. Are we talking about index funds, or are we talking about commercial funds? The commercial funds added 13,500 to their long position and dropped their record short position of 1,048,000 contracts by 21,000. I think it's going to be hard for them. The commercial fund can't have its way with the market like we saw in 2004, where they begin to liquidate and they really start to push this market down. There's a lot of people willing to step up to the plate and buy. So rather than seeing any great push down, I think that we will trade sideways for a while, look at what the weather is. If the weather's positive, I think we'll go back up and we'll probably even challenge the old contract high.
What level do you think we should be at sold in the corn market before the March 30th report?
Well, I'm at 20% sold in cash, and I intend to be 50% covered with puts by the time that the report rolls around.
50% in puts alone or another 30%?
Another
puts?
30%. Thank 50%
you.
Total.
In the beans?
In beans, I would like to be 50% covered in puts in beans. I'm not going to... I've made some small cash sale recommendations, but, you know, it's with such a wild card. I think that this report that's coming out at the end of the month could probably be one of the most important reports we've seen in probably 20 years. And I think on either side, if we do pick up the additional acres because all of a sudden we pull 4 million out of cotton, which I don't think is unrealistic, in talking with my clients down in Mississippi and Louisiana, we could find out that we have a lot more corn acres come in on this, and then I think you'll see bean acres take off. And bean price take off.
You are talking about puts. Which strike price?
Well, I've been doing a lot of different types of strategies. I've been buying at the money December puts and turning around and selling July out of the money puts against it, with the idea that that put in July will expire. It has a higher possibility of expiring because of less days to expiration, as well as the fact that July is the old crop. And giving the farmer then the put coverage that he needs all the way into the harvest time, wide open with nothing below him.
Yeah, Jackie, looking at this acreage report, what kind of numbers are you or your firm kind of zeroing in on at this point as far as the acreage switch?
Well, for right now, I can't speak for everybody in the building, okay? We don't normally, we'll usually get together and have a meeting at some point in time when we get called and asked, but what I'm hearing from my clients is it's been a dramatic change since we've seen the big increase in bean prices, as well as the really high level of insurance that we now locked in, you know, with that 809. We were hearing about 25% change, and we were hearing as high as 10 to 11 million acres. Now I would think that it's dialed probably down much closer to 9 million acres, because there's numbers of guys, I think, that are going to report they're probably going to stay close to rotation unless they put anhydrous on extra acres last year. So I'd say more in the 9 million acre level.
You were speaking about the funds there. When's, in your mind or your opinion, is this all going to come to a head? You just can't keep buying. At some point in time, they'd own the whole entire crop. At some point in time, it's got to go the other way.
Yeah, well, how true. You know, the thing I look at is it's kind of interesting. We spend a lot of time being concerned about the index funds, who are long 372,000 contracts, but we seldom look at the commercial fund, who's long 482,000 contracts. And I really think that we will see, as soon as the farmers begin to sell, okay, when we open up the doors and we have to find a way to get rid of crop, I think we will see the commercial fund be a strong seller. It'll improve a short position. And I don't know if we will find a lot of index. It depends upon if there's a lot of outside money that's coming in at that time to stop him. Otherwise, I think once we start to see farmers really, really decide they're going to get rid of old crop, then I think that we're probably looking at a situation where we could get some pretty strong push down.
Jackie, I know that some of the advisory firms advised locking in basis on everything you have to sell this fall out of the field that you don't have storage for or have contracted. What are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, I advise my people to do the same thing up to whatever they have covered on insurance. I'm not going to put them out there and expose them, you know, beyond that. But I just believe that if we do indeed get the large number of acres they're talking about, from an infrastructure standpoint, we are not set up to handle this size crop. And I think that, you know, in knowing how it works, basis will get poorer. You can't bring crop in the front door if you have no place to go with it. And what do you do then? You widen basis.
How wide do you think the basis will get this fall?
Well, I think it could get uglier than what we've seen. You know, when you guys fortunately enjoy a pretty nice basis where you're at, when you look up into the worst-case scenario, I think if you look up into Dakotas, which are expanding acres in corn quite a bit, they'll see a dollar under basis on corn just like they see on beans quite regularly. And so Minnesota, 50 to 70. As bad as it was probably back in 2005.
Ouch.
Yeah,
Jackie, switching gears here real quick, what kind of number would you guess that we're going to see in the first look at the 2007-08 crop year as far as ethanol usage for corn?
The first look at 2000.
So we're 2.15 billion this year. Some people are saying 3 billion or 3.3 billion, about 3.2.
I think 3.2, and I think that, it, you know, if you look at it, I think it could be higher than that by the time we get to the end of the year, depending upon, of course, you know, on how many plants actually do end up opening up and if they're running full. You know, but even at that, we have 80 plants that are expanding right now. You're not going to expand and not, even when they're running at 50%, they're running at 100% of what they were running this year. So, you know, it's a tough call, but I think 3.2, and if we do go to the 11.6 like they were talking about at the Outlook meeting, that's over 4 billion bushels.
Jackie, what's your best weather person's observation as we go in the spring and summer, have to say?
Well, there's probably two people that have contrary opinions, I guess is what I'd have to say. One says, La Nina, who cares? You know, and that the likelihood of us really having a drought is not very high. The other one says that they do believe that there could be an impact basically and more on weather cycles and more based on what the weather has been the past 3 years. I'd have to say I don't think it makes a difference one way or the other. The trade is going to perceive it how they want to, and I think their perception right now or the desire is to stay more to the side that we'll probably get drought, and therefore that would enhance a long position.
Any final thoughts, Jackie?
Well, it's going to be interesting. There's no question about that. I think that farmers right now, you know, at $4, sometimes you hear people say marketing's really not that important because we're making good money here. I personally think marketing is going to be more important now than it ever has been because we can lob a dollar off this market, and we don't have an LDP down below to help us.
Jackie Vakes, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Jackie's from Stuart Pearson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Let's get some final thoughts from our panelists now. Clayton Pope.
Well, I'll agree with Jackie. It will be interesting. It's going to be kind of a spectacle to watch unfold, I think, here. Uncertainty is just sky high in almost every sector we look at, and one by one, as we march down the calendar, it'll be nailed down. I would certainly urge people to learn how to use the tools available to them and protect these prices because you never know how long they're going to last, and it can be done in a way that still gives yourself some upside potential.
Wayne Nelson?
Wow, what a year this has been. What the potential for profit and things looking at it. Let's not let $4 corn and $8 beans just get away from us here. Let's use some of these puts, even as expensive as they are.
And Kurt Kimmel.
Yeah, I'd agree with what Clayton and Wayne mentioned there. I just want to add, though, there's one other commodity that's going to suffer due to high corn prices. What I mean by that, there's going to be a large switch out of Georgia from peanuts to corn.
All right. We'll keep a note of that. Thanks to our panelists, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Greenfield Marketing in Normal. That wraps up Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our website is willag.org, willag.org. You'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Tom Rogers.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oilseeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.